This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares part of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, May 26, 2021. The meeting, as usual, was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council and Town Administration personnel were in the council chambers. Attorney Sorrell was remote, along with the public, via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. This is the first of the two budget hearings for the FY 2022 town budget. This night goes over 4 hours, so I split the meeting into four logical segments. First covers the opening, and then the information technology, elections, and facilities departments. Second covers the police and fire. Third covers the regional dispatch, Board of Health, and a historical museum. In the midst of that, you'll hear they break for 5 minutes to give them some time. They had been going for 2 hours at that point. And just before that break, and then just a little bit after, there's some audio loss due to the storm that's rolling through the area that night, if you recall. That section runs about 33 minutes. And then the fourth and final section covers the school and DPW portions of the budget. Audio is also lost in the end, as they hit the 11 o'clock hour, and some of the council comments are lost. By the time I switched back from the live stream where I had been recording back to Zoom, there was some minutes missing in there. Hopefully the TV studio will be able to have recorded that, and that'll be available via the TV replay. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. So let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of May 26, 2021.
Next item held is police. And I think the chief and deputy chief are on their way in. Hey, Chief, welcome. Just before we start with questions, just want to congratulate you on becoming an officially certified police department this past week.
Thank you.
I know it's been in motion for many, many years during your tenure, and it's great to see it finally happen. So congratulations. Okay, questions from the council.
Get mine in order.
Councilor Frangillo.
I'll get mine in order.
Okay.
Someone else.
All right.
Appreciate
then it. Then I'll start while people are waiting. Can you give the community a quick synopsis of what it took to get that certification? And then what's next? And how many communities are accredited?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. And I'll even do better. I'm going to have the individuals put all the work.
Oh, what a great, that was a Tom Brady-like pass.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for having us here tonight. Just a little bit about the program. When TJ took over in 2016, one of the major initiatives we had was becoming certified or accredited through the Mass Police Accreditation Commission. It's a self-initiated process where we look at every policy and procedure we have to make sure they are up to industry standards, best practices, so to speak. So we went through everything from operations, facilities, equipment, training. It took almost 3 years to go through every policy. We dealt with things such as ethics, implicit bias, de-escalation, use of force, recruitment, selection, promotion, training, discipline, internal affairs, patrol, operations, investigations, victim witness assistance, prisoner transport holding facilities. Mike D'Angelo is probably glad we're done with that because we had him at the station every day for about a year. Records, communications, the MAC, property evidence control, and every standard. There was 159 standards we had to meet, and within each standard were multiple layers. For instance, we ripped the evidence room down to the studs and went through every piece of evidence in there, re-entered it, put it in its proper place. And it was a very time-intensive process. And it couldn't have been done without the assistance of the men and women of the PD and Chief Lynch's guidance. So currently there are 250 plus or minus departments in the program. 120 are in self-assessment. That's when they're reviewing all the things we went through. 15 are currently certified, and 97 are accredited. So certification is the baseline. It's 159 standards you have to meet. After that, you go for accreditation. And that's 257 standards. So we're in the process of going right from certification to accreditation. And this is going to roll right into the police reform bills. It'll encompass all those things. So we're pretty sure that with the new legislation being certified, we'll cover most of the new mandates. So we're satisfied that we're going to be right on top of things. So it was a long process, but we're glad it's done. And now we're going to continue to march for accreditation.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chief, can you give us a personnel status of the department in this budget?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In this budget, we're adding one officer. We're going from 52 to 53. And it basically, I went to Jamie after we gave our budget initially. And when we finally were able to meet, I went to him and I said, I have an amendment I'd like to do, and it's going to cost $1,000 more than what I originally gave you, but it will add another officer. So he looked at me like, what?
Like we are?
Yeah, like you are, yes. Now, how'd you do that?
Right.
A number of different things happened all at the same time. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't expect this to happen again, and I'll tell you right now that there are no more magic tricks. This is it. Okay, there's no more changing schedules or coming up with something like this to add more. I'm going to need more money. It's what it comes down to add additional officers. So a combination of personnel moves, you know, Kevin Ryan retired. We also had John Maloney ended up leaving to go to the court. So you have things like replacing John, who was a, you know, top step master's level education, with an individual that was step one right out of the academy, only with an associate's degree. We also at the same time had Sergeant Robert McCory, who is our head firearms instructor as well. He came up with a program to save money on how we end up doing training and where we do training for firearms. So we used to go to the Bellingham Range, which I know some of you probably got phone calls about that as, you know, the years have gone by. From Franklin residents that live on the other side of the street. But at the Bellingham Range, we're only allowed to use frangible ammunition. Frangible ammunition is extremely expensive. It's about twice of what it costs for the same case of ammo that's non-frangible or lead.
Right.
And they charged us a yearly dues, and then we had to pay for a detail officer, one of theirs, to be there the whole time. So we decided to move to the Hawkington Sportsman's Club in Hawkington. Their facility is much better. We don't have to use frangible ammunition, and it's $100 a day. So we saved a ton of money on ammo. We were able to move $10,000 in what normally would have went for ammo to now towards, again, trying to hire this officer. And then Kevin's replacement was a little less. I'm just trying to think of all the other. Oh, one of the things was the goal and the reason we were looking for the 53rd officer was we were trying, you know, for the last several years since we went to the 4-4, we were too short of the 30 officers in the patrol division that we needed. So we were running running unscheduled overtime was getting expensive because we were at the minimum for 8 hours every 24 hours, which means when somebody took a day off, we were automatically in a situation of having to pay overtime. The goal is to always be at least one over the minimum schedule 24 hours a day. So we moved an officer from detectives. Didn't want to do it, but I had no choice. And we saved money in the stipend there. But we really needed that mirror for that officer. So that's how we went with the 53rd. So we were able to reduce our unscheduled overtime by 10,000. So when you added all the things together, we were basically able to cobble together enough to be able to hire the 53rd officer that really helps us out with fiscal year 22, where we'll be, you know, budget, as long as everybody's healthy and everybody's working, you know, one over the minimum 24 hours a day.
Great.
Love to be two over the minimum 24 hours a day. I need four more.
I'd be disappointed if you weren't asking.
Right.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you to the chief. Actually, one of the points I have is in regards to your comment you made about the transition of the firearms training from Bellingham to Hawkington and saving money with the ammunition. With the increase in the prices of ammunition and such a deficiency in the inventory of ammunition, have you noticed a quite considerable increase in overall cost of ammunition on your end? Because I've noticed, even just on my end, from people I know and myself, that the cost of ammunition and the availability of ammunition is scarce nowadays. Is that affecting your department at all?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we are. The cost has not gone up much. We're part of a consortium of like 37 towns through Waltham, then end up working through a couple of different companies. So the cost has gone up a little bit. The problem is we can't get it.
Right.
There was a massive shortage in ammunition due to a number of different things. Remington Arms Company ended up going into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They're just starting to come out. There was slowdowns due to, you know, raw materials and other things due to COVID. It's starting to come back. I know, you know, Lieutenant West just talked to me yesterday, and we're going to be buying some more. I'm going to be potentially asking the comptroller's office and Jamie to do an encumbrance because we're not able to spend the budget for the ammo the full for this year, possibly due to the fact that we are having trouble. But everybody's having trouble. If you go to a retail outlet right now, you're not going to find much on the
shelves. Are empty.
They are. And they're hoarding, and these companies are basically only selling to law enforcement where they normally would sell to others. But they're holding it for us because we need it.
Good.
So that we can train.
And the only reason you brought that up is because you said it saved $10,000. I didn't know if that the increase in costs would offset that.
No, I think I think we should still be fine. You know, with the amount of money, because the fact that we're not having to shoot the frangible ammo, we were able to move that $10,000, and we should be fine with current costs if they don't all of a sudden increase dramatically over the next, you know, 9-10 months.
My only other question.
We went from 45 to 9mm.
Oh.
We're changing
smaller,
that, you know, which is
it's smaller,
but it's easier usually to find.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes be, it's a little cheaper than the 45.
It is. My other question is in regards, Mr. Chairman, through you to the chief again. It's been a few years now since you've made some major changes, and you and your department have been very flexible and really coming up. And I think Councilor Kelly coined it well when you guys came up with the plan, where you changed your hours, you changed shifts, you made some budgetary adjustments that your staff agreed to. How does everyone feel now with those adjustments? Is everyone still happy with the way things are running over there with the you know, the schedule shifts and the whole budget shifting that you guys did for us a few years ago? It's very forward thinking.
Sure. Through you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that things are going well. Haven't received any complaints. Few of the people that I knew that were definitely not for it, some of the more vocal ones, I've talked to them since, and they're like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, they like the time off, you know, that they have when you, you know, you take 40 hours off, you're off 12 days. So they kind of like that. I think they might have, again, with police officers, the biggest fear is change.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, everybody, you know, change can be fearful. They especially don't like change. But, you know, once they've seen it in action, it's been several years out. The problem is we really haven't had a baseline yet because there's always been something going on with COVID or something else that's kind of thrown a wrench into it. So we still don't even have a baseline yet of a full year with it without COVID or something like that. But I haven't really had no complaints.
It won't go back for the quarantine.
No, they won't. They're not going to go back.
No, I don't blame them for it.
So it's worked out very well.
I appreciate your time, Chief, and everyone's doing such a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLarco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Chief. You guys always do a great job. But what do you see in the future? I mean, you've got a lot of retirements coming up, or do you or do you not? Or, you know, you're going to be listening more?
We have a number of retirements. Succession planning is definitely on the radar. We have a lot of things coming up. There's a sergeant's test in November. There's a number of individuals of rank that have come to me and said that they're going to be leaving within certain periods of time. I'm probably looking anywhere from 6 to 8 in the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Between the deputy chief, lieutenants, sergeants, and patrol officers. So
you're getting a plan together to try to figure out what's going on with that?
Always have a plan.
You always have a plan.
Yes.
Not always sharing, but he always got a plan.
No, I'll share. The collective bargain agreements are, you know, basically dictate everything we have to do for promotions from patrolman to sergeant to lieutenant, and this and that. And then, of course, for the deputy chief's position, we'll run an assessment center. You know, and so forth. So, no, we actually talked about it recently, had a meeting, you know, so we're planning it. We know what we're going to be doing. There's going to be a lot of things going on this fall, and then the dominoes will start to fall come like January, and then the following, you know, July. You know, a lot of people wait till after the 1st of July,
yeah, right,
and they'll
right.
end up, you know, retiring. I already, you know, and again, they've been very good with letting me know.
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, that's why I was kind of curious if they let you know so you can prepare. That's the biggest thing.
I don't know about the ones that aren't letting me know, but I know about the ones that have. So.
One more question. Congratulations on that award. Now, how long will it take you to get accredited? Like the next step for you guys to.
The goal would be to try to do it within a year.
Okay.
And it sounds, I know it sounds like a lot and all that, because it took us that long just
I'm
to
just
do
curious,
the 159.
Yeah.
No, because it, that way, if you can do it, and it's ambitious, you don't have to be assessed when you go for accreditation on the 159 that you just did for certification. So you only have to do the remaining ones for accreditation, which would be great. And then we'd be good for 3 years. Take
okay.
a big, deep breath, you know, and try to get reaccredited. But we'll try that. But as I said, the deputy chief, he's leaving. You know, if he stuck around, I'd be able to say 100% certainty that we get it done. But I can't say that now. But we have a succession plan for that, too. So of who's going to take over.
Yeah, what are you going to tie him down?
I do have a high tensile strength chain, and I told him I'd feed him filet mignon. Yeah. We'll take care of him, but I think
food's always good for me, too. So thanks, Chief. Congratulations, and you do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor DeLarco. Councilor Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just accolades to you and your department. Once again, another great year. Great budget presentation by you as well and your team. Every year you guys kind of jump in, whether it's capital or the budget, and put it right on point, and I really appreciate that. So just a great job to you and all of your officers, as well as it's nice to see some new faces. I hope that they get in front of us sooner rather than later so we can learn some of their names. I feel bad riding around town waving at people I don't even know their names. So some of the old guys I miss. We're going to bring Chandler back and put him back out there. So, no, great job, and great job to everybody. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Chair Mercer. Through the chair, Chief, congratulations on being accredited right now.
Certified.
Oh, certified. You will be next year, right? Let's be saying that. I have one question about your safety equipment line. Sometimes it kind of it's high and low and high, and I just want to make sure that you have enough funds in there for the safety equipment for the team.
Yeah, I mean, the safety equipment is what it's called safety equipment, but that includes also all it's the equipment that we need for when we're hiring or onboarding new officers,
okay,
or if we're going to send people to the academy. So that's what,
okay,
know, that's
all
what
right.
that
so
is.
Then you're all.
I don't anticipate as much this year. It's really the following fiscal year. You'll see that line item go up considerable.
Mm-hmm.
And we may end up needing some things. Like I said, I mean, in the middle of the year, some people may end up deciding to go, and you know, we'll try to work it out as best we can, but we may end up, you know, having to ask for maybe a little more, depending on how, you know, when people decide that they're going to leave. Because I have some commitments definitive, and then others are kind of still up in the air a little bit about when they're going to actually go. But that's what that light item is for.
All right. Thank you. Great
thank
job.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Chair. Again, thank you for and congratulate you on the certification, and thank you for the budget. I mean, of all the departments that we read through, I think you might have been, you guys do the most, like, really squeezing and looking for every opportunity to save the town money. So I really appreciate that. I want to highlight a few things that I liked. One of the jail diversion program and all the benefits that come from that it seems to have been fantastic. And my fear is, A, is there an expiration on it? And then my follow-up would be, is there an opportunity to expand it?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. There is an expiration. The good thing is it's a 10-year grant, and we're only in year three. So we definitely have, you know, as long as the state still funds the grant, then we should be good for another 7 years. And we have had some discussions about the potential of, you know, possibly adding another clinician, you know, to, you know, Franklin and Medway's program. It is a regional, you know, with the two towns. And we've been in contact with advocates. They've given us a number. I've shared that number with Mr. Helen. And so hopefully at some point we might be able to do something about that and be able to, you know, work with Medway. We wouldn't be able to do another grant because DMH is looking to expand the program to other communities. So they're not offering second clinicians, but, you know, looking to see if we might be able to actually absorb that, you know, somehow the town to offer, you know, with Medway to get a second clinician.
Awesome. On the idea of, yeah, people retiring, how do we recruit? And we've talked before, but I would again, you know, urge whatever opportunity we have to recruit Franklin people or people with backgrounds that we don't currently have on the in the department, I'd encourage. But how do we go about recruiting new officers?
So we do have a test every 3 years. There is a police exam, and they take the test. Typically, those people, some might have law enforcement backgrounds, meaning they're already working somewhere, but a majority of them do not. And then the other way that we recruit is by just looking for lateral transfers. Since we're non-civil service, we can take lateral transfers from civil service towns, non-civil service towns, out of state. We've never had anybody do that, but it opens it up so that we can actually take laterals from anywhere. Right now, we've concentrated on taking laterals because we're short-staffed. So the difference between a lateral transfer, meaning an officer that's already graduated the academy, currently already working for another community, when they come over, between the time we end up advertising, it may take a month or two, you know, through interviews, and then we hire them. And then they only have to do a 3 to 4 week field training, depending on how many years they already have. And then they're out in the street, and they're actually taking up a slot for the vacancy, you know, that we've had. And of course, that saves us a lot of money versus if we hire somebody to go to the academy, then it's 3 months of vetting, interviewing until we can definitively say we're going to hire this person. And then we have to find them an academy that's open that they can then end up doing all the different things they have to do, the physical agility test, the physical fitness test, pass it all, and then get in. 6 months at the academy, 3 month field training, it's a solid year. It is a solid year before that person will actually go out in the street on their own and actually take up the vacancy that they were hired to fill. And when you're looking for more offices and you're short of what you really need, and we're not one over the minimum, we just don't have the luxury right now to be able to really put people through the academy. Recently, we've gotten some academy graduates that have not worked somewhere else because I sponsored individuals to go to the academy, not knowing that we would have open spots. So they came to me, they used to either work for us, so they're residents of the town. Will you sponsor me to go to an academy? Odd that there were spots available during COVID when the classes were cut in half, but these people were able to get in, like Derek Tetral, Bob Birchall, and Victoria McVicker, who's at the Randolph Academy now. I sponsored them with the intention that, or the belief that we would never be able to hire them. Didn't have positions available. But then some things happened, like Officer Maloney leaving to go to Rentham Court. So we were able to hire one, and then we were able to get the 53rd. So they were graduating the academy. We felt it was right to sponsor them anyway. You know, this is an opportunity to hire them. Now I have another officer that's leaving as of July 2nd. And of course, Victoria's at the academy, but we're also going to, we're going to interview her, and we're going to interview some transfers. We're very lucky that there are people from other communities that want to work in Franklin. It is not hard for us to get people to apply to want to work here.
It's all good stuff. Thank you. The only real budget line item question I had, a huge thank you for bringing down non-scheduled overtime. Vacation coverage has gone up pretty substantially at the same time. What is vacation coverage? What goes under there, and why does it seem to be increasing?
So vacation coverage is when the officers end up utilizing vacation. There's going to be times when they take a vacation day that it's going to, we're going to have to fill that shift or a portion of their shift with overtime. So the more officers you have, the more you're going to end up increasing your budgets, you know, as far as the coverage you're going to need for when they end up, you know, leaving. Nobody's salary other than myself and the admin personnel. Everybody else is an hourly employee. And when you don't have, you know, there's a set number, there's a minimum. When I talked about the minimum before, there's a minimum number of officers, depending on the time of day, that we feel is necessary for both safety of the officers and the call for service volume, that they're going to be able to effectively respond to that. And when we go below that, we have to pay officers to come in on overtime to work it. That's what that is.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to the chief. Chief, I have to commend you on what a great job you guys do, and I'm going to kind of lay some groundwork for the future, for your future budgets, when I say that you may have missed your calling. If companies could run as efficiently as you do, run your department, you know, they'd be Fortune 500 companies. But I guess my question is, I'm looking at the pay scales of your officers, and candidly, I'm disappointed that, you know, I got to commend each and every officer that works here in Franklin. I'm assuming they love their jobs, because you couldn't even lift it. From what I know, on pay scales, they're relatively low based on, you know, the economies, and I commend them. I guess what I'm saying, though, is with the amount of officers we have, do you have any statistics on response times in and around the town of Franklin, and on any carrying basis, on any emergency basis?
I don't have the actual numbers with me right now, but I know that, you know, we're very good at getting to the calls, you know, very soon after the calls come in. I mean, you're talking a couple of minutes.
I do hear from residents that are concerned with some response time, 6 to 10 minutes. Would you agree with that, or you?
It depends on what it is. I mean, if you're talking about like a domestic call or something like that, in which, you know, obviously it's imperative that they get there very quick, I would say no. You know, they're going to drop whatever they're doing and go to that. If somebody's calling up because they're the victim of fraud, it may take a little bit for them to get there, and they may stack that call depending on the time of day and all that, because they can't just get there.
It's not an issue right now in the town. I mean, but would you feel more officers would help that response time if, in fact, it is that above and beyond 2 minutes, 3 minutes? I think. I mean, I was told again 6 to 10 minutes to get to some emergency situations. So
I like I said, I mean, I've not heard anything from anybody. There's been no complaints and that I've heard about response times. I mean, people have no problem sending me emails or calling about other complaints, and I deal with them all the time, but I've never heard anything about the response times. But the answer would, you know, do we need more? Are we dealing with more calls for service than we have in the past? Sure, we have. Town's growing. You know, there's more houses, there's more apartment complexes, there's more traffic.
So with what you just going to follow up on what you said, I'm going to segue into like a global question. How is Franklin doing on a crime fighting basis, or rather a safety basis, as far as over previous years?
We're still being COVID, still being named one of the safest towns in
Massachusetts. We still are one of the safest towns.
Yeah,
that's great. Again, congratulations on your accolades, and I appreciate everything that you and the force do.
Thank you, Council.
All set.
I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Chief. Hi, Deputy Mel. I'm going to echo what Councilor Frangillo said. It's a tight budget. You really keep it tight. People need to remember also that you have 53 officers and only two civilians. Only two. And that 53, as some of these other councils asked, what do you want to get at? And I think you said maybe 57 officers would be our ideal right now. And I've always wanted to say this, so I'm going to say it now. Dollars cuts our bodies. Just remember that, everybody. So I always wanted to say that. Thank you. It's true, though, right? Isn't it, Chief?
Yes.
Any dollars cut are going to be bodies. There's nowhere else.
True, Mr. Chairman. The budget is 97% salaries, 3%, you know, expenses. I mean, it's 5.7. So I mean, yeah, if it's 200, it's just under $300,000 of a $5.7 million budget that is dedicated to expenses. The rest is salary. So it's, you know, and it's all contractual bargain. You know, a majority of it is through CBAs, collective bargain agreements. So, yeah, and it really it
don't cut me short one, Bri, it's 5, all right? Because 57.6 is the average for the communities that we did the survey. 0.6 is closer to 8, so we'll do 58.
58 right now.
Thank you, sir. So, yeah, 58, because I'd love to put – we need 4 more for patrol within the 4 and 4 to be able to solidify that we could have 2 over the minimum 24 hours a day. And that would work out really well. We're going to need that many more anyway to be able to, as Council Basanti was talking about, the increase in calls for service and this and that. And if there is a problem with response times, to make sure that we keep them at an appropriate level. And I'd love to put that detective's position back in, because like I said, we had to move somebody out of detectives to be able to add the 2 to the, you know, to the patrol to go from 28 to 30. So, like to do that.
Just one last thing. Still have the floor. Unfortunately, I was at that that terrible fire the other day up at Franklin Crossing, and the police department actually had
a drone.
You guys saw that there?
That was awesome.
And it was able to go above the roof and to actually take pictures of where it was going for the fire department. And what I wanted just to clarify was that it's little stuff like that that sometimes when we look at your budget, we're kind of like, what do you need a drone for? But it does so many other things. Like, I think we all need to remember that when you're asking us for things, there's usually a bigger purpose for, it wasn't just a toy. Let's just cut to the chase. It's not a toy. And I know Lieutenant West kind of runs it. I mean, maybe he could even put out on social media some of those things that it was doing, just so the public knows how much we really get out of this drone. Just my thoughts on that.
True. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as you said, the drone is, we made the drone available to everybody in town. I mean, they've checked for bird's nests on top of water towers, for, you know, facilities, so they don't have to send somebody up there and save money. Conservation's asked us to do certain areas that it's just tough to get into, so you just send the drone and it maps it out. Obviously, the fire for ourselves has a lot of uses. That's the big one that you saw last night. We have a very smaller one that can go like into houses and stuff like that. And we just applied for a grant to get the medium sized one where you can actually converse with somebody. You know, that way we don't want to go in if we don't have to. So yeah, we have a pretty good robust drone program for a smaller community. And the drone is called upon for, you know, the Metropolitan Law Enforcement Council. They've called a number of times requesting Jimmy would come out and give them a hand on high-risk warrants and other types of services. So,
thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mr. Thank Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Any other questions or comments from Council? Chief, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The department did a fantastic job with the certification. We're all very pleased with the way it went. And like I said, the Deputy Chief deserves all the credit of kind of organizing and all that. I just gave him the mandate. He did everything else. So. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ex-Chief, great.
Okay.
Very good.
Next item on the agenda, or the next department, is Department 220 Fire. And I think Chief and Deputy Chief Klitsch are here. Chief, again, just to start off, just want to thank you and the entire fire department for the heroic work in the last week and a half and over the past month. We're fortunate no one was seriously hurt or killed, and that it didn't spread any further than it did. So thank you to you as well as the entire department. I also know, as we all know, and we all had to walk by tonight, that your department's glowing these days with the new apparatus and staff and many other goals being achieved. First question I'd like to ask you is, like the police, can you give us a personnel status of the department for FY22 budget? And can you tell us how revenues were brought in to offset the cost of the new staff?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. We're going into the FY22 at full staff. So we have 56 uniformed firefighters. 52 of them are spread over the 4 different groups, which is 52. Then myself, the 2 deputies, and the EMS captain are assigned to headquarters. And then we have 1 civilian executive assistant. So it's a total of 57 with 56 uniformed firefighters. So we are going in at full staff. And in the last two fiscal years, at the very beginning of the calendar year, we get the new from the vendor that does billing for ambulance transport billing. We get a number of what the average is for the top 50 communities that they have to for income. And what we've chosen, what the council has chosen, is to take the average of the top 50 billable transports that that vendor uses. And we've made that adjustment at the beginning of the calendar year. And we've put that in effect this past April 1st and the April 1st before. So our rates are maintaining competitiveness with the surrounding communities around us in the Commonwealth. And those extra funds, we've seen a drastic increase. In addition to the work that our EMS captain is doing, really doing a lot of great job with QA, QI, as well as the company that's tasked with going over our reports, where we make sure they're even better before they get to that stage. So we've seen a great influx. We project in FY22 that the income will be 1.6 to 1.7. Last year in FY20, it was 1.45. So we've seen a good increase. And that's a year during COVID, where actually our billable transports have actually been a little slightly less because people were less apt to go to the hospital for fear. Hey.
Again, just to back up the the new staff.
Yes.
Grants that were used to bring in new staff for the, FY22.
The ambulance billing were accounted for. Those are personnel that was brought on March 21st of this past year.
Okay.
We do have a SAFER grant pending now.
Okay.
We're expecting to hear from that. We're expecting to hear from that within the next month or two. We did put an application for four firefighters, which does cover the cost of their pay and health benefits for 3 years with no co-share from the town. It's a very competitive grant, but we gave it our best shot. We did not get it in 19. And then at that point, if we were successful, that'd be a decision between the TA and the council as we want to go down that road.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Questions from the council? Councilor Bazanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I had the sad opportunity of catching that fire, but I did see your guys in action, and I'm so impressed. I really am. And I don't know if you can announce the cause of the fire, but if you choose not to, that's, I understand.
It's undetermined right now, but it's not suspicious at this time. But it does allow me the opportunity quickly, and I just don't want to get into fire tactics of an incident. But just so everybody knows, when they got there was heavy fire in that building. And that drone that Lieutenant West got pictures early on showed that. And our first two company officer, Captain Marshall, his crew, they did make an aggressive interior attack to that third floor with a line, checking apartments and starting on the fire. After about four or five, 6 minutes, Battalion Chief Chuck Allen, and the reason why I bring this up is last year we came in front of this council and we talked about reorganization.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this Battalion Chief, which was a cost. But we really tried, we said it's very important to have that command presence early on in an incident, because that's when we lose people. And I will tell you, once Captain Marshall was ordered by him to get out of that building, that floor went and that room flashed. So it's a tribute to this council that we don't know what could have happened. So sometimes I think you just talked about the cost of the drone and the difference it can make. I just want to make sure you guys knew that.
Mm-hmm. I was.
Appreciate
May I continue?
It.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, I was also very impressed with the efficiency of all the equipment. Everything was running flawlessly, at least
yes.
from what I could see from my
yes.
My eyes. And great effort, great. No lives were lost. Not even a pet was lost, and their lives count too. So I'm very happy and feel very confident with our fire department.
Thank you.
And our equipment.
Yes. Well, we should be. We've had good support with our equipment. I don't think we should have any complaints with equipment.
It's working really good.
Yes, it is. It is. And we appreciate it. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Bazanti. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, similar to the police, a lot of positives and a lot of things to highlight. Your work the other day was incredible. I commend your whole staff. I appreciate the work that you do with the high school. I noted a few things in here that
yeah.
I was particularly happy to see. Yeah, working with the police department, working with Dean College, just strengthening our relationships around town through your work is great. The one line item question,
mm-hmm.
So we four new hires, and yet we're also still increasing non-scheduled overtime and holiday overtime. I was just wondering, why?
So the non-scheduled overtime is the callbacks when there's an event. There'll be a general callback. Non-scheduled is pretty difficult to budget. We try our best. This has been a pretty active year. So once both stations are out or there's a significant run, we do a general callback and members come back. The holiday, the last CBA, there was an adjustment prior to the CBA that we're in right now. The junior five-year firefighters could take holiday pay. That could open up to the department. And what we saw on the trend this past year was particularly the younger firefighters choosing to take their time versus the option of a payout of a holiday. So really, if you see the increase in one, it's actually going to lessen the other, so they will leverage each other out. So when you see holiday coverage and holiday overtime, they will equal themselves out. We're just seeing a trend now that younger generation firefighters value their time, and the older firefighters still rather get the payout. So it's a trend that we're seeing.
I would do the same.
Yeah,
I get that. For non-scheduled overtime, we're guessing there, right?
We get together and we really look at the trends within the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and we just try to make the best prediction we can. And this year, obviously, there was a little bit of a little bit more with what was going on. But they do, whenever we have a general recall, they come back, and they come back for 4 hours. That's in the CBA.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Frangillo. Councillor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, you're a gift to our community. You really are. You came in to a fire station that firefighters that were having a hard time getting along. Heck, we were having a hard time getting along with some of them ourselves. And
I was from Rhode Island.
I know. And I was one of your biggest critics.
I know.
Don't figure.
I didn't want anybody over the border coming up here.
I know. I got the message.
Some of them just backed their chairs up. But you're a gift to our community because you came in and you made promises. You were going to unite the staff. You were going to work with them to figure out how everything could work well. And you came with a lot of promises that I think many of us probably didn't think you could actually achieve. And not only have you achieved them in a short amount of time, but your staff... It's really difficult to find a staff that talks so highly about their boss. Tonight, when I was outside looking at the two new trucks, they were excited. You were excited. I can't thank you enough as a member of this community, most importantly. You really care. I could see in your face when you were talking about the flashover. Battalion Chief Allen spoke about it to me tonight. I don't think the people in our community realize how close we were to losing a couple firefighters the other day. And that's really a scary situation. I have for 10 years sat on this council and said that if something like that happens because of bad equipment, that's on us as councilors. We all take that to heart every single day.
Right.
That when your guys go out and the police officers go out, if they don't have the right equipment, then that's on us, and that's a failure on starting at the top with us. And seeing what they have out there means that we've done a good job. Buildings can be rebuilt. You can't save a life once it's gone. You can't bring it back. So thank you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I will be an advocate, whether it comes sooner or later, but we need another fire station. I don't think people understand that out in the Medway corridor of town. It's not going to get any better out that way. The response times are not the best out in that corner, and it's because we don't have apparatus out that way. So it's tough. I think that we have to look at a police station. We have to look at a new fire station or at least a substation out that way somewhere. We're running 2 or 3 ambulances right now.
We're running 2 frontline, and we'll have 2 reserves when that new one comes in a week or two. So we'll have 4 total.
Do you think it's time to bring another ambulance frontline?
Right now, in last FY, we received mutual aid 151 times, mm-hmm. and then we rendered 849. So about 100 runs we missed calls. to offset that for the full cost 24/7 of the 30 ambulance with the manpower, I don't think that would make sense now. But one thing I do want to do that's reflected in this budget is that one of those reserved ambulances that will be stationed at headquarters will be fully stocked. Perfect. That way, if those two are on the road, we do a recall, we get two medics back, and we put those two bodies right in that truck right away, and they don't have to do anything but prepared to go. So if we have a need for a third call, we don't have to rely on that mutual aid, or if we have something catastrophic, we have someone to get an ambulance to their front door that much quicker and not relying on a mutual aid ambulance. So that's what I think, that's a good step, mm-hmm. maybe for this FY, but it's definitely on the radar screen for the future for sure.
Okay. Absolutely. Excellent. Thank you. And what a year for fires, huh?
Yeah.
We had Peck Street.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Street. Winter Peck, right? We've had just the recent fire. I mean, you guys, a number of years, haven't had to really deal with, you know, other than one fire a year. But
the mutual aid departments around us are saying they don't need a street book in no more.
No, I can't blame them.
And they've been at, it's good just to mention, too, we have a great relationship with these outlying communities. We really rely on them for their support. So we work really well. We work really well with them. So
to every one of your guys, to yourself, to your families, thank you, and stay safe.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Well said. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to repeat what many of my fellow councilors says, other than the fact that, you know, you are prized department, and I can honestly say, and again, it's to echo Councilor Kelly's point, is that for my longevity here on the council and all the different types of levels of feelings that the fire department has gone through, this is probably one of the most positive times that the fire department has ever had. And I have personally been the most involved at the fire department than I've ever been in my whole time sitting on this council. And it's all because of the overall change in attitude. And it all starts at the top with great leadership. And it's great to see how many of our personnel have stepped up into such leadership positions and really taken charge. Kudos to you and your team for doing that. I know that, and again, it kind of stems back to the question I said to the police chief earlier with these changes. How do you think the overall feeling is across the board? I actually know the answer to that because I actually speak with the firefighters. Okay. But what kind of response do you get from the personnel and the group as a whole?
I think we're in a really good place now. When you have that influx of seven new firefighters we hired in the last 12 months,
yeah.
You have that new young blood come in at the same time,
yeah.
When you get new equipment, when we're doing a lot of training, we've documented 75 to 100 hours training during the COVID year for every firefighter.
Yeah.
That's an all-time high for us. But it's just a combination of all those things. But I really appreciate what you're saying. But honestly, deputy chiefs, it's this has been a group effort. The fire department is a team sport. It's just the way it is. It's not like a boxer or a wrestler. This is a team sport, and this has been a lot of coordination amongst a lot of people. So it's really a group effort.
It's reflective, sir. It really is across the board. It's just the positivity that I feel when I go in there and I talk with everybody, and they talk about all the different events that have occurred. And Councilor Kelly mentioned all the additional fires we've had, all the different calls that we've had. I see the different calls that you guys get, from emotionally stressed people to anaphylaxis. Issues to fires and all the different things that everyone puts with them. I just can't even begin to fathom the level of stress that can be with some of these calls that you guys have, let alone the fire you had the other day. It was nice to see, and harping back to what the comment was earlier, the community, the different communities coming in. I saw Rantham, I saw Medway, I saw Bellingham, just the camaraderie and the teamwork and effort that went into making that event got tamped down. It's just extraordinary. And it is testament to everybody.
They did a great job.
And one thing I've made a statement to several of your personnel as well as yourself in the past is that I will always continue to be a big supporter of your needs, for the simple fact, and Kelly, I think Councilor Kelly coined it the best, is if there is something that's wrong, we need to take responsibility for that. And I'm always going to be here to support you guys 100%. I'm not going to sit here and say is there anything you want or need, because I know every department has a want and need.
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous to go down that road right now.
I think my biggest point is to just stay talking, because the level of communication that exists in your department is 1,000 times better than it used to be. And I want to thank everybody for that. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLarco.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chairman. I have to agree with Councilor Kelly and Councilor
Jones on what a great hire you were. It was awesome. I was up there. I was also up there the other night, the other day, and Lieutenant West showed me exactly what that drone did and how you guys could figure out where the fire was going. So whatever we paid for that drone, it was definitely worth it. I can tell you that right now. And like you said, the morale up there is unbelievable. There's counselors here that they know who they are. We used to sit up there for many hours. It wasn't pretty, but you changed that, and I do appreciate that. The one question, you said you were looking for four new firefighters with the grant?
The application called for four firefighters. That's what we put in the application, yes.
And so we'll be good for 3 years with that?
That's if we get it.
If we get it,
3 years, that's salary and benefits for 3 years with no match from the town.
Okay. And then what happens after that?
After that, it's on us. It needs to be budgeted. It needs to be, you have to have a plan when you get into that second and third year.
That was my next thing. Right. You do have a plan for that, right? Because I don't want to hire anyone for 3 years. I want to keep them here.
Right.
Yeah, any firefighters. But thanks. Well, great job last night. You guys do a great job. And, you know, I'll always be in your corner. So
thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Councilor Pellegrini.
I've been quiet only because everybody is saying everything that I want to say. And why repeat? It's getting late. But being an elected official for over 37 years now, I can say that I've never seen the morale as high as it has been since you've arrived. You've done something special there. And personally, I thank you very, very much. And also the deputies and the whole department.
Yes.
Everybody working so well together makes a big difference.
It does.
So thank you for what you did with this fire now, getting things under control. And if you wanted to say anything for the public now to know if there's something we can do to be able to assist with any of the families.
Yeah, that's pretty much under control right now with the Red Cross initially. And then they've made accommodations with family and friends and all that. I think there's a Facebook, there's a GoFundMe page to an organization. I don't know what that is, but they're in good shape right now. The family's over there.
Good. Well, that's Franklin. We come together.
Yes.
And we help each other out.
A lot of people did come by in the last couple of days.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Chair Mercer. I think the only thing I would add to everyone is your excellent commitment to training. And that was one of the things we said at the very beginning when you were interviewed, is that we need to have really good training, and it shows in what happened last night, right? Yes, and yesterday. I was wondering about the EMS continuing education line that you have in the budget.
Yes.
It's new.
It is.
And it's exciting. And I was wondering if you could give us a little information about it since it's new.
That line item actually was brought to our attention last year, Councilman Chandler. That was a combination of, it was all under meetings and conferences.
Okay.
And we divided that up because it was labeled wrong.
Right.
So okay. Meetings and conferences. So right now, if you go to meetings and conferences, you'll see $10,000. That $30,000 now is where it really should be correctly. And that's for the vendor that does the EMS Con Ed training for the department. So it really shouldn't have been there. And we made that adjustment according to this fiscal year.
Excellent. Brought
to
our attention. I remember that, yeah. Councilor Chandler, when you said that. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Chandler.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Chief. I'm just going to piggyback on what Councilor Hamblin said about the training. I'm glad that in this budget we have those four field training officers to help mentor, because you have a lot of young guys now.
Yes.
And we might even have to put a little more money into that, because they really need to be brought along. Just those situations like the other day. I mean, I know you had, you know, Captain Marshall and Battalion Chief Allen.
Yep.
Who just have great experience. But right. When they have their own field training officers that they, you know, everyone's got their eyes on everybody. And
right.
So I'm glad that that's in the budget.
We get one on each of the four groups, and it's a firefighter. It's a firefighter, that, not a ranking officer, but a firefighter that has that position. So
that's good.
Yes.
Maybe they feel a little better about going.
More comfortable. Exactly.
Great. Two more things.
Sure.
This might have been brought up at the Finance Committee meeting. In the stats here, it shows you're down 1,000 calls this year.
No, this year, no, right now, it depends on when you took the snapshot of that, but right now.
It's on page 55.
Right, so today, I just made sure I got the number today before I came in this afternoon. So right now, so in FY 20, we were 44.66.
Yeah.
Today, we're 42.10. So with another month and a half, we're projecting about 4,700 should be our projection for the
okay,
for
that this year. 34.85.
Yeah.
So that's
wrong. When we put that budget narrative in, that was the numbers I was using at the time, a few months back.
Then here's one more numbers question. Your phones, it says 8,200. That would be page 59 of the regular budget book. You see that right under EMS contingency?